I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Super excited. I have a really good friend on the show today. We've got Elliot Hamlisch. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at AMC Theaters. Elliot, great to have you on.
It is a pleasure to be with you. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody who's tuning in, everybody knows AMC. Everybody's been to the movie theater. Excited to talk to you today. Elliot, you've got a pretty impressive background on the brand side. And prior to AMC, you were over at American Express. You were at Starwood Hotels. You were at Wyndham. So it seems like you really like that travel sector. And you and I have a ton of mutual friends and family. And we just literally met a couple years ago. And so we met in California at Patel. Two summers ago, right?
Where all great meetings happen.
Yeah. So Elliot, why don't you kick us off? And like I said, everybody knows AMC's, but maybe give us a little bit of a heads up on, you know, the company's mission, maybe some of the initiatives that you've been leading since you joined about 18 months ago. And then we could go into, you know, a little bit more about the business. And I've got some good questions for you.
Yeah, that sounds great. And look, maybe before we jump in, I'll provide a bit of background. And to your good point, everybody's familiar, at least somewhat familiar with AMC, but the company has been on a pretty incredible roller coaster ride. And I joined just about 18 months ago, so I missed much of the real ups and downs, but it's been a real roller coaster. So the company has roughly 600 theaters in the United States, almost all of which closed within a matter of hours back in 2020, right? So you take an industry overall.
What happened in 2020, Elliot?
Yeah, nothing. It was just another normal year, just a regular year, just like any other.
By the way, isn't that crazy? Like it seems like it was yesterday, but so long ago.
It really does. Yeah,
I haven't heard the word COVID in months. Actually,
I know. It's actually kind of nice because it's all we heard for every minute of every day.
COVID. Well, listen, good timing for you. Right, to come on board to AMC kind of post-COVID almost, because if you had joined right before COVID, that would have been a disaster.
Yes, it would. Well, it would have been challenging. Everything
that he just... Our new chief marketing officer to drive people into the movie theater where no one...
Well said. That's exactly right. But yeah, it's... Look, the company went from 600 theaters to essentially zero theaters open overnight. And it's been a pretty slow, measured, but slow recovery. The industry for only 5 or 6 years overall, not just AMC, but as an industry in North America, was delivering, call it between $10 and $12 billion of box office revenues on an annual basis. That dropped to $2 billion, almost all of which was in Q1 of 2020. Jumped up to $4.5 billion in 2021. $7.5 billion in 2022. And this year, estimates range from 8 to 10, depending on who you ask, $8 to $10 billion in 2023. And so the recovery continues, but it's certainly been slow. And it's been actually quite fun for me, to your point, and it has worked out nicely from a timing perspective, to join as the industry is really starting to pick up steam. Among the many things that I like and appreciate about AMC is the company's tagline, back to your original question, which is, we make movies better. And we make movies better has a lot of different tentacles and a lot of different sort of ways that comes to life. But in a world where people have been used to sitting on their couches, watching, pick your streaming service, as a marketer, thinking about ways to really make movies better come to life as we welcome people back to our theaters has been a ton of fun. And so it's given me an opportunity, whether it be our sight and sound, our food and beverage, a host of other innovations that we've brought to bear, projects initiative over the past few months. Yeah. It's been a ton of fun to think through that challenge and again, try to bring it to life in a meaningful way.
So Elliot, quick question for you. So I remember during the days of COVID, a lot of the movie theaters, entertainment studios, they obviously still had movies that they needed to push out. and with people not actually going in and sitting down in the chair, you were able to essentially watch. I remember it was Superwoman? Was that the one that came out during COVID?
That sounds right.
It was terrible. Honestly sat there and I'm like, I can't believe I just wasted 2.5 hours of my life. It was so bad. But it was really interesting to be able to watch a movie that was just released at home instead of the theater. And obviously you're missing that full experience, dark surround sound, like giant screen that we all love. And then as COVID started to kind of free up and people started to move around and it wasn't as bad, were people expecting to still see releases at home? Like, I don't know if you have any data on that, but because I remember when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is cool. But I didn't like the experience. I like the experience of being in the movie theater. I like the experience of that really shocking sound and the huge screens and all of that. Like, it obviously was total disruption and it changed the model.
Yeah, I do have some data on it, actually, and a couple other maybe interesting points to add as well. So there's a company called NRG, which does a fair amount of research in and around the cinema and theatrical exhibition space. They did a survey, a longitudinal survey. And so take all the data with a grain of salt, right? How you ask the question and to whom you ask the question certainly factors in. But back in 2018, so a couple of years pre-COVID, their data showed that 57% of movie watchers preferred watching movies in a theater. That number dropped to just north of 30% during COVID, right? So there were a handful, call it a third of folks that still preferred to watch movies in a theater, but the majority preferred to watch at home. Part of that is they were used to watching at home. Part of that is they couldn't watch in the movie theater, right? And so again, take it with a grain of salt. But that just shows, is sort of highlighting the point that you raised, which is people got used to not being in a theater. That number is now trending back, and I haven't seen the latest number for 2023, but I have to imagine that it's getting back pretty close to where it was before. And what's interesting about that number is not only the binary, can you watch a movie in a theater or not, right? Are they open and are they available? But it's also about the quality of the content. Right. So how good are the movies that are coming out from all of our studio partners? So we think about the number of wide theatrical releases. So these are multi-million-dollar films that are at multiple hundreds of theaters across the country. That number was upwards of 140 wide release films in 2019, pre-COVID, which dropped all the way down to 80 in 2022. And so when obviously significantly down in 2020 and 2021, back up to 80 in 2022, and will be, again, as an industry, probably in the 100 to 110 range in 2023, still well south of that 140 number. And so despite there being a number of big blockbusters back, we're still not back to the number of wide release films that we had before. And when you think about movie watchers preferring to watch movies in a theater, part of the reason they want to watch in the theater is because they've got a movie that they're excited to go see. And so that is sort of a core existential both threat and opportunity to the industry is getting that number back and getting great content into the theaters.
Awesome. So talk to us a little bit about some trending, like what's happening out there. What are some of the biggest trends? How are you tapping into them? And then of course, how are you driving people into the theaters these days when it comes to strategy?
Yeah. So one of the things that you brought up before is the streamers. And it's one of the trends that I have found most fascinating. And I didn't appreciate just how intriguing and sort of complicated the ecosystem is prior to coming into the industry. And I've become now very accustomed to it very quickly. But it really is an interesting sort of interplay and set of dynamics between all the players in the industry. So back in 2020 and 21, you brought up this point earlier, Jeff, you know, studios were focused on getting their content out to people, right? In many cases, they had content already in the can, already produced, ready to go, but there were no theaters to show it in. And so in comes the significant influx of of streaming. And that worked well for a minute. And then along comes movies like Spider-Man No Way Home, which was the tail end of 2021, Top Gun Maverick in 2022, Avatar at the end of 2022, massive films that brought back all the people who weren't used to going to the theaters during COVID. And now all of a sudden, a lot of the streamers and studios started to sort of flip the script on, we actually realize now that we can make a lot more money by releasing titles theatrically. In a way, movies become big national or global events, right? As you release movies theatrically, big marketing budgets come to life in a obviously very different way from watching titles while you're sitting on your couch at home. And it actually helped the eventual streaming of titles to be even that much more successful. And so from a trend perspective, that one is one that I have found most interesting, because it's a complete flip of where we were a couple of years ago. You also have companies like Apple and Amazon that haven't played at all historically in the theatrical space that have both within the last handful of months committed more than $1 billion each to theatrical releases. And so there seems to be a sort of changing of the tide from an overall trend perspective to streamers now being increasingly interested for all the right reasons in releasing some, if not all of their titles, not all their titles, some of their titles theatrically. So I've found that really interesting. And as our CEO likes to say, we're happy to play many, many, not all of those titles in our theaters. And so we found that to work really well. And it's been a good set of relationships with many of those partners. That's our one big trend.
Yeah. So E, while we're talking about theaters and movies, what's out? I haven't even been, I've so been not focused on anything other than like work that I have no idea what's in the theaters these days.
I mean, what an incredible past few weeks it's been. We are on the cusp of an amazing couple of weeks ahead. We've got Mission Impossible 7.
Shut up.
Dead Reckoning.
Okay.
Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. Can we stop for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely missed the boat on this one, but I see all these people with these Barbie memes. What is it?
I got to tell you, Jeff, it's going to be massive.
What is it, though? I don't get it.
Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling play Barbie and Ken. I can't share any details about...
Why not?
I've seen it.
Okay. Got it. Why can't you talk to us, Elliot?
I can't divulge, but man, is it a super fun movie. It is going to be huge. They had the premiere in LA a couple of weeks ago. You should go online and check out pictures. Literally everybody is head to toe in pink. My CEO is there in a full head to toe pink suit. It's going to be huge. And what's been amazing about it, I don't know how big the marketing budget is, but I'm sure it's big. They have gotten unbelievably creative with bringing the Barbie brand to life, not only for the movie itself, but merchandise and pick your social media platform. It's massive. And it's going to be big. It's going to be big. I'm excited.
I feel so out of the loop. Like,
you gotta catch up.
I know.
It's going to be good. Here are some other movies you should be excited about.
Okay.
Oppenheimer comes out the same day as Barbie.
Okay.
I know a franchise that you are particularly excited about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh my God. Love that.
Which is going to be great.
Wait, why is that coming back? It's been literally when we were kids. Like,
I know. But yet another movie that's going to be, I've seen
30 years ago.
Yeah, many years ago. I've seen about 10 to 15 minutes of it, and it's awesome.
Okay.
All of the voices of the four main characters are teenagers, and so it's
totally radical.
It's really great.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. So yeah, there's a ton of good stuff coming out. The biggest movie of the year thus far, and probably the biggest will continue to be the biggest movie of the year, is Super Mario Brothers, which came out a couple months back, which my kids loved, and candidly, so did I. It was awesome. Another franchise from our childhood. But it's good. It's a good time to be in theatrical exhibition and a ton of great content.
Love it. Well, listen, the sound of your voice, you're so enthusiastic. I guess you love your job and you love being in entertainment, right? Kind of a little bit of a difference between being in the travel industry.
You know, yes and no. So yes, I love it and it's a ton of fun. It's actually really similar in a lot of ways to travel in that, and hospitality, and it's all about customer experience, right? When I think back on my Starwood or Wyndham days, we were putting people on vacation, we were making business travelers feel comfortable. And that's all about ensuring that they've got a great experience when they're booking, when they're staying, from a customer service perspective, from a loyalty perspective. And it's basically the same thing in our industry, right? We're not putting people on vacation, but we're giving them the opportunity to engage in a community setting, in some ways to escape and come, in some ways to feel super present, right? As you sit in the theater, crying together, laughing together, being shocked or scared together. And so much of the way I think about my role is, how do we make sure that customer experience from end to end is a spectacular one? And much of that translates really nicely from the travel and hospitality space.
Cool. So I know we quickly touched on marketing. One, as the chief marketing officer, right, you kind of oversee your agencies and partners and the folks underneath you on the brand side. When you guys are doing media, programmatic, really driving people into the theaters, are you going broad? Or are you focusing on very specific cohorts of people? Like, what does that look like when you're trying to drive people into the theaters?
Yeah, the easiest answer is yes and yes, and maybe yes. Maybe there were three different categories. So we do a fair amount that's broad scale, right? So if you think about from an organic perspective, you know, a lot of what we're doing is broad scale brand building. What differentiates AMC relative to not only our theatrical exhibition competitors, but why go to the movies as opposed to doing a lot of other things that you could do with your entertainment dollars or free time? So yes, from a broad scale perspective. We have a really sophisticated crew internally and some agency partners as well that get really deep on segmentation. And that segmentation from a host of different perspectives, demographic and psychographic data, movie going behavior, both stated intentions, but then also actual behavior, right? So what movies have you seen? How often do you come? Are you a loyalty member? Yes, no. We have a recommendation engine that actually takes into account all of the movies that you've seen and then spits out, here are the movies that we think you'd like based on that. And we base a lot of what we do from a programmatic perspective based on that, right? So think about similar to what Amazon does in terms of you bought XYZ before and now we're teeing up these products that are similar because we think you'd like them. We do lookalike modeling along that path as well, to the extent that we don't know a lot about you, right? We try to find similar characteristics to others and tee up titles that we think you'll like. Mm-hmm. And do a lot of testing and learning, right? So to the extent that works well, great. We keep doing it. To the extent that it doesn't, we riff on it and see what works better. There's also a lot from a segmentation perspective that we do distinctly from a geography standpoint, right? So what we send out is often geo-targeted. New York looks very different from LA, looks very different from Atlanta, looks very different from Knoxville, right? So that certainly factors in as an overlay to some of the other segmentation or variables that I highlighted earlier, really in an effort to make sure that we're personalizing to the greatest extent that we can. And again, where we get it right, great. And where we don't, we're testing and learning and trying to adapt.
Awesome. So, Elliot, a couple of questions on you. Obviously, we talked about work and AMC, which is great. But before we go, maybe some quick fire questions on who Elliot is. Are you ready?
Yeah, fire away.
Ready? Favorite food?
Oh, as a kid, mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
As an adult, sushi.
Nice. Okay, so let's think about characters in movies. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be? And as a modified question... How would you use it in your daily life?
Boy, I had such a clear answer on what my superpower would be, which is to fly.
Me too.
How I would use it in my everyday life, not at all productively. I'd every free second, I'd jump around, maybe go for a fly around the block instead of a walk around the block, and come sit back down and keep going. I'm sure there's a better altruistic save the world answer that I probably should have come up with.
No,
but all I can think about is how fun it would be to fly around.
That's one of my things I wish I always could do. Like, if I could fly, that'd be so epic. All right, if you could swap lives with any fictional character for a day, who would it be?
Spider-Man.
Okay. All right, last question. And I've asked this question a few times. I try to really change it up on every show, but we've had hundreds of shows. So you're going to go on a private island by yourself. Well, you are going to go. You're stranded, actually. But you actually can have three things with you on that island. Now, there might never be a chance to return. Like, you might be there for life. What are you bringing? And why?
Boy, good question, Jeff. These are piercing. These are piercing questions.
Stranded island for life. What do you got?
I bring an iPad, which would give me the opportunity to watch the things I love to watch.
Dude, there's no power.
Well, the battery works for a while, right?
You're going to be on the island forever. Dude, don't waste an iPad, I'm telling you right now. Unless you have unlimited batteries that you could bring that are like special battery packs.
Maybe instead of flying, my superhero power would be creating battery packs to last forever.
Okay.
What would you bring?
Do you need a lifeline? Okay.
What would you bring? So, I'm phoning a friend. What would you bring?
Phoning a friend. Hey, this is Jeff. Okay, what would I bring? Well, I feel like you probably know me at this point pretty well, so you know that I'm a pretty good fisherman.
Yeah.
So I would be bringing a fishing rod and tackle. Okay. I don't know if that counts as two things.
Well, it's one. Let's do one.
Yeah, fishing rod with, you know, smokes. So I'm going to be able to catch my fish.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring matches because I'm going to need fire. Okay. So I could cook the fish. And then I think maybe I will also bring a knife.
Sid, you took this very literally.
Yeah.
This is like survival, Jeff the survivalist.
Yes, what the hell are you doing on the island, sitting in a pool for 4 feet?
How am I going to entertain myself? I'm going to watch Succession on my iPad and read, catch up on my favorite book. And you had to really deflate me with there are no batteries and there's no power.
Yeah, Shiv. Yeah.
I was so excited.
July 4th weekend out here, everyone's just saying, yeah. Yeah, Shiv. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, all they say is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're good.
Okay, so you failed that. You definitely are not going to survive on an island. You need it.
Well, but if we're together, then you can catch fish for us.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, listen, Ellie, it was great having you on the show. Always love hanging out with you. And, yeah, you're doing great stuff. And, you know, we'll have to do like 6 months from now, have you back on.
I love it. This was a ton of fun. Thanks for the time, Jeff. Appreciate you and appreciate you having me on.
Awesome.
And yeah, look forward to next time.
All right. Elliot Amlisch, Chief Marketing Officer of AMC Theaters.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.